Folks, this is Isaac the Nothing Miller. Dennis Spike's out this week. He's got that little fall flu that's been going around. I know it's been wiping out people kind of left and right over at work. You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio, the Wild West Show. I already got one caller on. Wow. Hey, guys. I have El Foxo Loco. What do we got here? And gone that quickly. If you'd like to call in, you can do that at any time. That phone number is 714-816-4727. Just got the call, like I said, about 20 minutes ago to say that Spike wasn't going to be able to make it tonight. It's been a tough bug going around. At least out here in the West, I haven't heard about too much trouble going on out East. But here in the West, that bug's been going around, like I said, and I know it's taken out upwards of 30% of my coworkers, making for some fun days. Unfortunately, because I just found out Dennis is not going to be here, I don't have a whole lot going on for you for tonight's show. I didn't have a whole lot of plans. I usually just follow his lead because Spike is the man when it comes up to coming up with something to talk about. And of course, he does that very well. And here's that phone call once again. Hey, see if we get this to work this time. El Foxo Loco, who we got here?
I got you an early birthday present. It's called being stabbed in the eye socket. I hope you don't already have one.
All right, we're going to go ahead and just kill that call. Sounds like something we wouldn't want to get into anyway. Big news, let's see, here in Portland area, in the Northwest, coastal fishing right now is probably really where it's at. Tillamook Bay right now has been putting out some killer Chinook salmon. Really bummed. I fished Tillamook Bay 4 or 5 times last year. In all those trips, I only saw a few fish caught. I couldn't even get a takedown. So that's just the way that happens. This year, it's hot. Every time I talk to anybody that's been out there, they're catching fish left and right. Tillamook Bay fishing, you want to troll headless herring, just your good old mooching rig. There's a lot of information, especially over at salmonuniversity.com, if I have that right. Let me double check that. Salmonuniversity.com. They've got a little map there just about Tillamook Bay, places where you want to troll, and follow that information. It's perfect. Areas producing the best, the Ghost Hole. Most of the guys that I know that are in there, they're on fish within seconds, and it really doesn't take more than just a few minutes. I know a bunch of guys went out a couple hours, they were done. Limits, they went home. If you want some more time on the water, if you want to do maybe a little bit more than Chinook fishing, there's crabbing in Tillamook Bay, and everything that I've heard for the last 6 weeks now is that crabbing in Tillamook Bay is hot. There's one stretch of water where everyone drops their crab pots. It can be a zoo. Fortunately for those of us in kayaks, it's really easy to get in there, find the fish, or drop your crab pots, rather, and get out. And when you come back in, scoot right on up to them. It's real easy. The water's pretty shallow, about 25 to 30 feet, so you don't need a whole lot of rope. Just one of my problems, because I run upwards of 150 feet of rope, and I think my shortest length is 100. I got those 50-footers, but those are all floating. I definitely prefer the sinking lines when it comes to crabbing. The power boaters, they definitely appreciate it as well. The thing with the floating lines, it gets caught up in props. Not a good thing. So keep it with the floating stuff. The best way to go, and you're not going to run into any problems. Like I said, shallow water, use chicken for sure. If you're going to be dropping crab pots, the bait you want to use is chicken. There are a lot of seals. There are a lot of sea lions. And if you're using fish for bait, I don't care what it is, might be old sardines, might be rockfish carcasses or lingcod carcasses, they will trash your pots to get to that fish. They know it's food. City of Ash in the chat room, chicken backs and necks, they're super cheap. Here we have a grocery chain called Winco. Go in, get the family pack of legs and thighs. It's like $1 a pound. Get a big, huge tray. It's going to keep those pots full all day long. Really is one of the best ways to go when you're crabbing in areas where there's a lot of sea mammals that would otherwise trash your pots. Backs and necks, of course, another great option. They're usually very cheap as well. And I know some places, they just give them away. So always good to have. Chicken's one of the best when it comes to crab. And like I said, Tillamook Bay right now, and for the last 6 weeks, is just stuffed with crab. They're big, and of course, Dungeness crab is super tasty and one of those great sustainable seafoods here on the West Coast. The limit in Oregon, 12 crab, minimum size, 5 3/4 inches. All that you can find on the ODFW website and check on their fishing regulations. They've got all the information right there on crabbing. Some really good stuff going on right there. Like I said, you drop your crab pots, you work your way back across the bay, drop into the ghost hole. You want herring, like I said, probably purple label, maybe green label herring. And troll those. It's not going to take long. Like I said, from everything that I've heard, hits are coming really quick. Got a whole bunch of folks in the chat room tonight. Thanks for tuning in. If you missed the beginning of the show, Dennis Spike is out sick, and had to call it good. He's staying in bed, resting up. So it's just me. The big crab pots is the question right now from City of Ash in the chat room. The crab pots I use we're limited to 3 crab pots per person. We'll use either the folding Danielson crab pots, if I remember correctly, are about 2 foot square and what is that, another foot tall. The other one is a Promar folding trap. It's a soft-sided wire frame trap that's just – when I got one, I discovered I want to get rid of all my Danielson traps because this Promar folding trap is definitely one of the easiest to use. It folds – it's about 1.5 feet wide, 2.5 feet long, and when you've got it raised up, it's about 1 foot tall also. If you're just going for crab and you're not going to do any fishing, you can do rings, and that's pretty popular, especially in California, for lobster. If I remember correctly, that's the only way you can fish for lobster is with crab ring or with the ring traps. It's possible. I don't exactly recall on that. Always check your local laws. Don't trust me for laws, especially if they're outside of Oregon. I don't know exactly. But that's the crab pots that we like to use, are those folding ones. Are just the ones I definitely prefer to use anyway. There's not a whole lot of water movement going on in the bay, so you usually don't need a whole lot of weight. The weight of the trap itself is usually going to be sufficient. If you are concerned, I use a couple of 12 or 16-ounce torpedo weights. That's the cheapest option. I know they make bar weights that you can attach to your pots, but the fishing lead seems to be cheaper, works just as well. Of course, if you've got a bunch of, possibly some extra rebar laying around, that also works very well as weight for your crab traps. It's a good way to go. So that's the crabbing. It's killer. The salmon fishing, of course, killer. The coho on the coastal rivers of Oregon, most places have been closed at this point. I know for sure four or five rivers have been closed to the coho run. And of course, on the coastal rivers, those are wild coho. Down in Coos Bay area, the lakes there, Takanich, and the other one that's right next to it, pretty big lakes, pretty well known for their wild coho runs that come in there. They are working just as well. I see a question from a guest here. I will be taking calls. We've gotten some folks out having fun tonight. We'll have you on the lines, not necessarily calling in to talk to me on this show, but rather just to cause havoc on the airways. They're also in the chat room. I'm working on getting them out as they come up, so we'll do my best to screen calls, but I can't guarantee everything is going to work out just right. If I see something call in, I will answer it. What else do we have going on? Like I said, there's sturgeon. Oh, my goodness. Here in the Columbia River, the lower part of the Columbia is open for sturgeon. And that's been going on really well. Here we got a phone call right here. Area code 508. You're on the air. And see, that's what I say. That time of year, everyone gets a little crazy. Back to sturgeon fishing. Lower Columbia is open to sturgeon. Sturgeon fishing's been doing pretty well right now, too. Bait of choice, for me, sardines or shad strips. Not the time of year to be using whole shad, just because that's going to be, you know, for the keeper size sturgeon, way too big. Shad strips usually do you pretty good for getting the smaller fish. So, not necessarily the smaller fish, but the fish that you want to be keeping. That keeper range, minimum size from snout to fork, 38 inch, all the way up to 56 inches, snout to fork. That's the best, you know, like I said, that's where you're going to be catching the fish that you want to take home, fry up, boil in a little bit of Sprite, whatever way you like to do it best. Killer fishing right now going on right here in the Columbia River. And I've been getting a lot of reports, like I said, doing very well. Some days not so much, but others have been killer where they just can't keep up with the fish on the line. It's been awesome. My favorite areas right now, parallel to, say, Savis Island. You can go further upriver near Government Islands, working pretty well. You know, there's quite a bit going on, a lot of options. You can also go further upriver, up towards the Sandy River. also a good time. There's still Fall Chinook running through the Columbia. So if you've got a full day to dedicate, I mean, it's easy to go home with a nice, fresh, wild Chinook and a sturgeon. So there's plenty of options going on. A lot of great fishing. And, I'm sorry, folks. Trying to keep things going here, but, yeah, we've got a lot of people in the chat room and calling in that definitely don't really want to be taken seriously by any means. Let's see what we got here. Any other questions? Let me weed through here. Yeah. Anyways, let me see if I can think of anything else. For coming up, I know a big question recently on yakangler.com is, fitness. You know, this time of year is the time that we really start, or rather stop, fishing all the time. We're not paddling as much. You know, some folks, it might ice up, and there is no kayaking to be had at all. And it's really easy to fall out of shape for kayaking. I know I fell victim to that myself this year. I posted a lot of good, as much good information as I could find over on yakangler.com. A majority of what I have, at least, are printouts from a book called Stretching. And there are a number of specific kayaks, stretches that you can do before and after and even during kayak fishing. It's really important stuff. Definitely check that out. Like I said, it's over at yakangler.com. These are the types of things that are going to save your back. They're going to save your rotator cuffs and make it so you can fish year-round, provided you've got the water soft enough to do so. Really good stuff. Do not overlook the hips and the legs. You might have a paddle boat. You don't own a Hobie. You still really need to pay some good attention to your hips and your legs. There's a lot of movement that we do as we paddle that can strain those joints and cause a mess of headaches. I know with a lot of the therapy that I've had for my back after hurting that this year has been on my hips and, of course, naturally the core, you know, your abs, your back, shoulders, upper legs, and those hips that keep it all connected. Really important to keep track of those things. Over on the forums, in that whole thread about kayak fitness, there is some good information if you're looking to do some strength training. You know, again, you're going to be working your upper body quite a bit as well as your core. Simple things, push-ups, sit-ups are very simple, easy things that are really going to help you out a lot when you're on the water. So definitely check into those things. If you've got the equipment, free weights, or even some of those systems work out really well. Bench presses, military presses, arm curls, weighted sit-ups, excellent way to keep your core strengthened during the winter if you're not paddling as much, and keeps everything in shape so when it does come time for you to spend all day on the water, it's not going to kill you to do that. It can happen. Kayak yoga. There is kayak yoga. I found some information on that as well. Yoga, of course, does very good at just keeping muscles stretched out, keeping your core strong. And like I said, those are important if you're going to be doing any type of kayaking. That's the best way to keep in shape and be ready and keep yourself from hurting yourself, you know. I know there is the 12 ounce curls or the 16 ounce curls. That's all I used to do also. And I did, like I said, I did hurt myself from kayaking this year. So as fun and dandy as a good beer is, it's not going to help you out when it comes to kayak fishing. You know, that's, I think, really about all I have for today. Stay tuned next week for sure. Dennis Spike will be back. He'll be in good health. He says he's got big news. Apparently it was big enough that he says he's going to call me later this weekend to tell me all about it. So it's definitely going to be something that we're going to have to tune into. And let's see, we got one more phone call on here. Hey, you're on Kayak.
Hey, Isaac, it's Greg.
Hey, Greg, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, not too bad.
We got some more fun guys out in the chat room now.
Yep, and...
how annoying these guys are.
And gone. No, I see the question here, if Chuck hurt himself kayaking. No, he's actually sick. He's been praying to the porcelain gods, so we let him stay in bed tonight. I did hurt myself kayaking early on in the summer. Kind of put a damper on the best fishing season of the year, but hey, that's what happens. So what you got going on, Greg?
Oh, not much. Just thought I'd call in and talk to you because that's getting in shape for kayaking is something that I'm going to put a lot of effort in this winter. You know, I'm a pretty big guy to start with, but you know, it's affecting what I can and can't do. So,
yeah,
you know, once the lakes ice up and the water's cold enough that I don't want to be in it anymore, you know, try to lose a few pounds and get into better shape. You know, and I was looking at some of those stretches that you put up on Yak Angler, and I guess it was about 4 years ago, I had a really bad time with a sciatic nerve, and a lot of those stretches were real similar to the ones that I did to help clear that up.
Right.
But, yeah, that was something, you know, I had, and it was really before I got into kayaking. But, you know, there was a month or two that at that point I was really into fly fishing that I just couldn't go fly fishing.
Right.
You know, it just wading through the streams and stuff, it was, there were times when I couldn't walk for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of these stretches, you know, they're a lot of good ones here just because you're going to be using, you know, your upper body primarily. But a lot of these leg stretches, and I know these are the ones you most likely did for your sciatica, these leg stretches are important because of our sitting position. You know?
Yeah.
And that's, like I said, it's really important to really take care of your body. It's amazing what, you know, I mean, I remember when I started kayaking, you know, I was like, wow, my legs really kind of hurt. You know, I was walking funny when I got out of the boat. You know, the advantage of doing these stretches and keeping up, you know, keeping your body healthy is that you can hop in and out and not have that problem. You're not going to get sore. You're not going to walk funny when you're done, like I said, and you're going to prevent further injury.
Yep.
Yep. So you mentioned fly fishing. Oh, I have been busy the last couple of days with fly fishing. I'm also the PR director for Recycled Fish. It's a great nonprofit organization. They promote, you know, stewardship and conservation of our waters. Excellent. If you haven't heard of them before, go over to recycledfish.org. Check them out. It's a great, great program. I've been a fan of Recycled Fish ever since I learned about them. And now, like I said, now I'm the PR director. And Recycled Fish this week opened up their own online fly shop. And so I've been promoting that, sending that out to bloggers, and been crazy busy. We're giving away flies left and right. If you go to the online fly shop, there's a link to it on the left-hand side of the page of recycledfish.org. Anybody that makes a purchase from the fly shop, even if you only buy one little nymph for a buck, Recycled Fish gets 30 cents of that dollar, and you are entered to win a brand new Rise fly rod. So that's been really cool, and that's, like I said, kept me busy the last couple of days. I thought it'd be killer time to mention that. There's a lot of great stuff. I don't know if you tie your own or not, but if you're looking for
flies,
that's
one thing. Yeah, that sounds like a great, great program. And I've checked out that Recycled Fish site, and it's a real good site. And you know, it's a real good thing they're putting together there.
Yeah, it's
so
great.
Look forward to reading more about that, and you know, sustainability in general, and you know, taking care of our resources.
Yeah,
you know, is an important thing. It's, you know, even what we used to do just to take care of things and be low impact isn't necessarily enough anymore because of, you know, the growth of the sport. There's more and more people out on the water enjoying fishing. And, you know, the little impact we have can start to add up. So, you know, we need to be, you know, even better at it. And there are easy ways to improve.
There are, you know, and it all starts at home. You know, turning off lights, low flow shower heads, you know, not fertilizing your lawn. Little things that are real easy that you can do at home that will affect the waters. You know, everything that we do flows downstream. So, you know, by reducing your power consumption, we're not relying so heavily on the hydroelectric dams, you know, where you can let that water flow for the fish, you know, that type of thing. There's a lot that goes into it. And Recycled Fish definitely has an excellent message. And like I said, they've got a great fly shop. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, fishing redfish, or, you know, down in the south, if you're fishing trout in the north, maybe you're doing some saltwater rock fishing. They've got flies for all of that. Definitely worth checking out. Like I said, they're really inexpensive. Some of the flies I learned today, some of the flies are made in the U.S. They do have a factory in Sri Lanka. It's the same place that ties for Umpqua. A lot of them are using Daiichi or Gamakatsu hooks. So it's all really high quality stuff. So I'm definitely going to be making several orders through there. It's a lot easier for me to just order nymphs instead of trying to tie the tiny little things. I don't have that type of patience. So, what's going on out your way? What's the fishing like?
Fishing is starting to slow down. The week right before the boondoggle, some weather came through. And for the most part, the fish, I was down at the boondoggle when it happened, but the fish pretty much disappeared. Big stripers and stuff have gone south, and they're heading down towards City of Ashway, down in New Jersey, and heading down towards the Chesapeake. And it's... there's still fish. There's some schoolies and stuff around. And from here on out, I'll probably concentrate on just fresh water, trying to catch some good fall largemouth as they're trying to get fat for the river or
nice,
the winter.
Nice.
So that's about it. But this weekend, I have a feeling it's all going to be yard work. I got about 100 trees that are just in the process of dropping all their leaves, so I got to keep up with that.
I just let them all fall and do it once. Anyway, that's sounds like things are getting slow. How's the fall fishing there for largemouth normally? Is that a good time of year for them?
Oh, yeah, definitely a good time of year. Most of the largemouth fishing, the ponds that I'm fishing in don't get much deeper than 10 feet. So normally by Thanksgiving, we're starting to see ice on them. So I don't have all that much more time. I got three, 4 more weeks. But, yeah, so, you know, they're really trying to feed now. They're real aggressive. And, you know, so it's a good time to turn my attention from the salt water back to the fresh water and relax and have fun on the ponds.
Right on. Yeah, here water's definitely cooled down quite a bit. Fortunately, it doesn't ice over unless you get way up into the mountains, so we don't have that problem. But with the cooler water, the fish head out, you know, head out to deeper water. So they just kind of hunker down. They know the winter's coming, so they just take off. We don't see them, especially the warm water species anyway. The carp are gone. The bass are pretty tough. The walleye, I couldn't buy a bite last week. So it's they're done. But like I said, we got plenty of good wintertime fishing, the sturgeon, salmon, steelhead, so they're all running through the system right now. So we get lucky up here.
Yep. So,
yep. And actually, this time of year, actually the winter months, the late winter months, starting November, December, January, stripers in two rivers in all of Oregon. So they were way down south. It's a 6-hour drive for me, but that's our only opportunity for stripers in Oregon. Mm. But they're way down there, and they come in, like I said, in the winter months. So the Oregon state record for a striped bass, I don't remember how big it was. It wasn't too big, what, 24 pounds maybe. Small by your standards.
yep.
That was picked up January of 2009, I want to say. So it's they're out there. It's just they're not big.
Yeah, but even, you know, it all depends on how you're rigged up. You know, if you're going out there and you're going out there with, you know, heavyweight freshwater gear versus, you know, the heavier salt water, like a medium weight is what I normally use, salt water gear for trolling for stripers. You know, sitting there and catching schoolies, you know, that are, you know, between 10 and 15 pounds, you know, all day long is a lot of fun.
Yeah. And so, I imagine the gear that you're using is pretty similar to what we would use here for steelhead and salmon, and even wintertime sturgeon. So,
yeah,
probably pretty similar gear. But that's something I still need to look into, is the striper fishery here. There's very, very, very little information about it. And like I said, they are here. Every once in a while, they'll end up here in Portland city limits. I've heard stories of them caught downtown Portland, completely random, but they do come up here for some reason, and I don't know what that's all about, but hey.
They probably got lost. And the one thing that holds true about stripers is they are not the smartest fish out there. I don't think any of the white bass are. So I have a feeling once in a while you get a fish or two that, you know, miss the turn and just
right.
Keep going, and they end up someplace you don't expect them.
Right. I can definitely see that as well. That's definitely a possibility. Hey, Greg, thanks for calling in tonight. I do appreciate it. I'm going to sign off.
No
I got
problem.
dinner getting close to ready, and it's smelling up the house something really good and starting to make me hungry. So I'm going to skip out. Enjoy yourself. Have a good night.
You too.
And thanks again for calling in. This is Isaac.
No problem.
Miller for Kayak Fishing Radio West. Have a good night.